Catholic sacraments are ruthless trafficking in human souls. That is the title of this video, and to get the documentation, just look at that article on our webpage, brainbeacon.org. Welcome to the program. It is a joy to speak to you. I ask you that you begin by giving us some quotes and documentation of what Pope Francis said.
Sure, Richard. So let's talk about sacraments. I'm going to read a couple quotes and we want to get your response to this. So in 2013, Pope Francis, before a general audience in Rome, said this: "The sacraments express and realize an effective and profound communion among us, for in them we encounter Christ the Savior, and through him our brothers and sisters in faith. The sacraments are not mere appearances. They are not rituals. They are the power of Christ. Jesus Christ is present in the sacraments." And he's just echoing a teaching earlier in the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 1192, which states, "The Church affirms that for believers the sacraments are necessary for salvation." Richard, are sacraments necessary for salvation?
The question is ridiculous, because Scripture emphatically says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I mean, it's not of anything works that man would do. It's God's gift in Christ. "By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Stuart, it is the gift of God. And you, the listener, it's the gift of God to you once you know that it is, you're looking to God the Father in heaven, and you're looking to Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to save you from your sins. We're all sinners before a holy God, and it's by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The exact words from Ephesians 2:9. So we want to read what Pope Francis said and then comment on it.
I want to back up on something what he said, Richard. I want to get your response. You were a priest for 21 years, Roman Catholic, former Roman Catholic priest. What was you had this saying about the three things that you thought the sacraments really summed up for a person's life. Can you share those?
Yeah, well, we only said this to ourselves as priests. We didn't say this to the lay people, you know. We said that our job as priests, because it was like futile, because we weren't going to see the babies again that we baptized. Most of them we would never see again. Maybe 10% actually came to the Catholic Church, we heard confessions, and in the days when confession was popular, it's not popular anymore, when people would line up and go to confession, we see people come back with the same sins week after week. We realized that these things don't work. I don't know if you ever had a microwave and one that doesn't work and it makes noise, turns around, but nothing is heated up. It was like that microwave. It was doing things, making noise, but nothing was happening. We used to say among ourselves as priests, you know, our job is to hatch, match, and dispatch. We hatched them when the babies are born. We matched them. That's those who get married, about 10%. Most of the couples where I served as a Catholic priest in Trinidad, West Indies, Most of the couples never got married. They were common law marriages, as they were called. And dispatch, well, we did the funerals. Well, the funeral did do something, because the funerals brought in money. We used to charge for funerals, and you talk about a good funeral. A good funeral was one who might have brought in $25 U.S. money. You know, we used U.S. money, but Trinidad dollars were different. And that was a good funeral because it brought in money. And then we had masses for the dead, and that brought in a lot of money, because each mass you had said for the dead, your dead, your uncle died, or your aunt died, and you had mass said for her. That brought in a lot of money in mass stipends. Of course, we wouldn't call it payment, it was a stipend. It was just a nice way of showing thanks to the priest. It wasn't a payment, it was a stipend, so we called it. And but it came back to the old saying that we among priests used to say among parish, hatch, match, and dispatch. That was our job as priests.
So Richard, if I can address sensitively this issue of, since you said hatch, match, dispatch, or what is more officially called baptism, which Roman Catholic Church refers to as the gateway to all the other sacraments, and indeed the basis of the whole Christian life. Quoting the Catechism, it states, through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the Church, the Catholic Church is understood, and made sharers in her mission. And furthermore, it says, by baptism, all sins are forgiven, original sin and all personal sins, as well as all punishment for sin. How do you reconcile that with what you just said?
Yeah. Well, it can't be reconciled because the Catholic Church don't deliver. They don't actually do what they say they would do. You know, because to go back to like confession, I heard the confession of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. You know what I mean? Each month in where I was serving in Trinidad, West Indies, and those people whose sins I confessed, they came back and they did the same sins again, and they come back to confession the next week. And I'd say, oh man, it used to be very embarrassing because some women would come into confession and they would be confessing, you know, their fornicating, having sexual contact with young men, and I used to sweat in the confession box, not because I was living in the tropics, but because of what I was hearing. And I used to say, oh, Holy Spirit of God, protect me from what I'm hearing, you know, about the sexual immorality of these women. And then, lo and behold, a week, 3 weeks, a month, these women will be back again with the same sins. And it was horrific. And then I saw one of the main church leaders, who was a leader of the choir and everything, openly in sin. I was horrified. Sorry, it wasn't one of the ladies, that was one of the men. It was a lady in the choir. And he was equally immoral, as were some of the men in his choir. And it really bothered me. It still bothers me because Catholic sacraments don't deliver. They don't produce what they say they will produce. And that's why from the 80s going into the 90s, we had the Murphy report in Ireland, and we had all the other reports about the sexual immorality of the priests themselves. And the priests were meant to be models of Christian life to the people they called the faithful in their church. The priests were found to be, many of them, totally immoral, and there were court cases against them in Poland, in Australia, and across the world.
Richard, I wonder if we could back up to something, because we talked about what so you're talking about that the sacrament of baptism doesn't deliver as defined by the Roman Catholic Church. Yet we do find in the Bible that Jesus does talk about baptism. In fact, in Mark 16:15, he states, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." Can you help us understand a little bit? What is the biblical teaching of baptism?
Yeah, it is he who believes and is baptized. It means that when we believe, we give testimony of our faith. And that way, that is what baptism is. We give testimony and we give it publicly to show people that we truly are saved. There's a man and his testimony is online, a video, taking out the middleman, John Callan. He was a Roman Catholic. And when I first met him in Yakima, Washington State, I went up to him and I said, "Good to meet you, John. I believe you're from Ireland, and so am I." I said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" He said, I'm an Irish man and I take tea." Mm-hmm. And he said, "If you sit down, I'll give you a cup of tea." I said, "Okay, John, I'll sit down." I said, by the way, John, I was a Catholic priest." He said, "Well, I'm Catholic, once Catholic, I was born Catholic, I'll die Catholic." I said, "Oh, okay, John." He was getting a bit heated under his collar. I said, "Okay, John, okay, I respect you." And I said, "Fine." And you can see the rest in his video. Just to summarize it quickly, I gave the gospel message to a group of farmers, and John afterwards said, "Run me by that again and let me hear that again." And I gave it to him and he went back to Ireland. We spoke on the phone. And then one day I got a phone call from him and saying, "The Lord convicted me, Richard. And I now in Cavan where I live, I'm gloriously saved." And I gave testimony to my faith when I was baptized. That's John Callan. Taking out the middleman is his video if you want to see it online.
All right, Richard, maybe we could talk a little bit about backing up to confession for a moment. And just reading something about, from official Catholic teaching, it states, "One who desires to obtain reconciliation with God and with the Church must confess to a priest all the unconfessed grave sins he remembers after having carefully examined his conscience." So I guess you talked a bit about how Roman Catholic confession doesn't bring about this absolution. So how can someone receive true forgiveness from sin? What is the role of confession, if at all, and as Christ taught it?
Confession is, as the scripture says in 1 John, we confess our sins to one another and then to God. But it is God who forgives. It is not any church. It is not any ritual. And I thank God that when we do sin, we go to God, confess our sin to God, and He forgives us. And then we, by His grace, promise not to sin again. So it's something we do to God. And the just man, that says, it falls many times each day. And we need to confess our sin to God, and He is faithfully forgives us.
Mm. That's a wonderful assurance. So God forgives, not a priest or not a person.
And not any ritual that a priest does, yeah.
Absolutely. So speaking of that, what's the basis of that forgiveness? Talk about communion, Roman Catholic communion.
Yeah.
I want to quote, "The sacrifice of Christ and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one single sacrifice. The victim is one and the same. The same now offers to the ministry of priests, who then offered himself on the cross, only the manner of offering is different." And again it says, "In this divine sacrifice celebrated in the Mass, the same Christ who offered himself once in a bloody manner on the altar of the cross is contained and is offered in an unbloody manner." Does this mean to say that Christ's sacrifice is celebrated every Sunday literally in the Catholic Mass in a Catholic church?
Well, that's what they claim. They claim that it's the same sacrifice that Christ offered, and that they're offering it, and that it's, the Bible says it was offered once and for all. And when the Bible wants to emphasize things. The Holy Spirit, in giving us the written word of God, tells us something many times. And the biblical number for completeness is seven. And seven times the Holy Spirit of God, in talking about the sacrifice of Christ, says it was once offered. So that we are sure that Christ is no longer suffering. He's no longer being sacrificed. Christ is no longer like hanging on the cross, or the Catholics say in a non-bloody way, he's no longer in any way on the cross. It is once and for all. The reason why they have the crucifix in Catholic churches is that that's their theology, is that Christ is on the cross. The Christ on the cross is suffering in their Mass. And they don't say that, but that's what's implied when you see their official teaching. And I know as a priest, when I would say Mass, that it didn't, nothing really happened, and I couldn't say that anything in the bread that was before and the bread afterwards. And it was very difficult. It was difficult in the West Indies because of the heat. And where I was a priest for 21 years, because the bread would quickly mold, the communion bread. And so we had to be very careful that the bread didn't mold, because that would be like, I don't understand, but like, you know, Christ's body molding, you know, you can't, you know, but you said, so I used to take the bread and try to burn it or to bury it in the ground so that it didn't mold. And now priests in moderate climates, I was working in the tropics, wouldn't have that problem, you know, but we had it in the West Indies. So it was the same when I would give people confession. In the days where I started hearing confessions in Trinidad before Vatican Council II, we said in Latin, Ego te absolvo, in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. That's the Latin for, I absolve you from all your sins, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I would say that over people's heads. I absolve you. I absolve you from all your sins. And then after 8 or 9 or 10 years, I would begin to say, why are lives not changed? Why are the people I've gave absolution to coming back with the same sins? Why is the leader of the choir immoral? That's the youth choir. Why? And it really bothered me. Ego te absolvo, I absolve you. And I began then slowly reading the Bible, and it was going to take me a long time. But then I came across the wonderful text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's the gift of God, and it's by grace. And how wonderful it was. And I would say, praise the Lord, it's by grace. But then I saw what seemed to be the bad news. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You've been dead in trespass and sins. This hit me like a like a big rock hit me in the chest. You've been dead? Am I spiritually dead? Well, dead men can't do anything. I was quite athletic. I was in championship tennis, and I was good at jumping and running, and spiritually dead. And then I asked the Lord to show me, was I truly spiritually dead? And sure, he showed me. Will I tell you how it happened, or we'll go on and I'll tell you another time?
Go for it.
Well, I got on the carpet in my little priest's house, and it was a red carpet, and I put my hands to heaven, and I said, God in heaven, I'm spiritually dead, and dead men can do nothing. Athletically and physically, I'm fine, but spiritually dead. I said, Father in heaven, give me the gift of faith and grace. And then it was like a flood of light came into me, and I said, Abba Father, my loving Father, you have saved me. You've made me right with you. For the first time in my life, I have peace with you as God. As a sinner, I know all my sins are forgiven. And I know that I have new life in Christ. I promise, as far as I am able, I've never been muscular or big. I'm thin and skinny. But as far as I am able, I will love and serve you all the days of my life. And Father, I give you the praise, the glory, the worship, and the honor, now and forevermore. And short, that is why I started the Burien Beacon, because I promise my loving Father in heaven, by the grace of Jesus Christ, I would love and serve him. And I have seen precious Catholic people, many, many, many of them, come to the Lord. And it's such a joy to me to see that happening.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And that's our hope and prayer, I know it's yours as well, that in talking to you today, we're not just exposing the trafficking in human souls of the Catholic sacraments, but our main purpose is to speak to you personally, who are listening to this program, so that you also may experience the joy of your salvation, knowing that you've been born again, the word that Jesus Christ used in John chapter 3. I say you must be born again, that you can be born again, have new life in Christ, and have, in the words of Scripture again, joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy unspeakable. It really is a joy unspeakable. It's full of glory when you've been truly saved from your sin and have new life in Christ. You have a joy within you welling up in your heart.
Amen.
One speaking from experience, but I've heard so many testimonies. I have a wonderful book, and you'll see it on our webpage. It's called On the Wings of Grace Alone, and it's the testimonies of 30 ordinary Catholics in everyday life coming to biblical salvation. That is just a wonderful book, On the Wings of Grace Alone, and it's a lovely title too. And read that book and you'll see people, if you're a Catholic, you'll see Catholics like yourself and in very ordinary circumstance. One guy who was more than ordinary, he was one who went to confession on Saturday and went to communion, and then by Monday or Tuesday he was back fornicating and doing all sorts of wicked things, and which he explains, he called his testimony the carnal Catholic. But he is different than the ordinary ones in the book. He's one of the exceptionally immoral characters. And look at the other testimonies besides his, and you'll see heartwarming testimonies of 30 Catholics who came out of Catholicism into true faith in Christ. And it's a joy to my heart to share that with you.
Thank you, Richard. This is great.
To conclude, dear listener, it's not that it's only the Catholic Church that doesn't save. It's no church. It's no church. It's no ritual of any institution. And so we're not like it's just hitting the Catholic Church, as it were. It's no church, and it's no ritual. There's no like magic wand that you can wave and somebody will be forgiven. There's nothing like that. It is the grace of God. And that's why I repeat what I said earlier on to you in the program, the wonderful text from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, not of yourself. That's important for many evangelicals, as well as Catholics. Not of yourselves. Many evangelicals have told me, Richard, I know when I made my decision for Christ. I know when I accepted Christ into my heart. So don't tell me that I'm not a Christian. And I would say to them, well, how is it then that you drink heavily and that you have some woman on the side beside your wife? And they say, you don't judge me. I say, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to measure you up to Scripture. It's Scripture that judges you. And so evangelicals who boast about the day they accepted Christ into their heart. When I woke up, I told you, I started reading the Scriptures. And the Scriptures I read, and sometimes I kept reading them again and again, was Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Accepted in the beloved, it says Ephesians 1, 6. And then it goes on to repeat, in him, that's in Christ, in whom, and it goes in different phrases like that, 42 times it says, in Christ. And I, in my Catholic Bible, underlined all those places. And that's why I counted 42 times. 42 times it says, in Christ. And even as a Catholic priest, I used to say, how is it that these evangelical churches say these things, that they made their decision, they accepted Christ into their heart, when the Bible says it's not into any human heart? It's the other way around. We are accepted in Christ. It's legally, it's credited to us. And we all know what credit means. It's like you have money in the bank, it's credited to you. It's not actually in your pocket or anything else. It's just credited to you. And it's credited, God credits it to us in heaven. And that is a joy. It is, as Scripture says, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mentioned that text again from 1 Peter, because that's what it is. So I ask you, dear listener, and here I'm I'm trying to be sincere with you because I know what it is to have pain and to suffer, not just physically, which I do, and thank God he alleviates my pain, but to suffer spiritually. I know the pain. And so if you are trying to be right with God, know that it's not by accepting Jesus into your heart. It's not by something you do. It's what God does in Christ. And so look to God and say, Father in heaven, the scripture says I'm spiritually dead. Give me your grace. And he will gloriously give you that grace. And you'll be able to say, like Shorten I do today, and to God be the glory, great things he has done. And he gave us his son, and we just praise him forever. And that, I trust, will be your salvation. And it's lovely to hear from you. I hear from others who email me. My new email address is the letter RVENNETT, don't forget the two T's, RVENNETT at BereanBeacon.org. I would love to hear from you. And when you email me, I will answer you. And it would be wonderful to hear from you. So we really say that again, that to God be the glory, great things he has done. To God be the glory, who sent us his Son, and may this glory be forever, and may many souls be saved, including the one who was listening. And we thank God for that. All praise, glory, worship, and honor be to you, Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen and amen.